Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Decoding Let's Be Friends, Friends with Benefits and Service Agreements. I'm Wendy Newman. I'm going to be leading this call for the next hour, and I appreciate you being here live on the call. And if you're listening to this recording later on, not right now, obviously, because we're live right now, but if you're listening to this recording, I appreciate you listening in as well. We had nearly 500 women sign up for this call. I love it. I think the last time I checked a half an hour ago, it was 477. That's crazy, right? It's a lot of women needing us to decode Let's Be Friends, Friends with Benefits, and Service Agreements. So not all 477 are on the call quite yet, but we are getting up there. Very exciting. So I want to start by taking a quick poll to find out if you're in the right place. If you would, push 1 on your telephone if you are just hoping that one of the things I'm going to teach you tonight is how to flip him from a friends with benefits scenario to a happily ever after scenario. Hit 1 if you want that. Or you could hit 2. Good, the hands are starting to go up. I'll let you know what it is after. Number 2, hit 2, if you've ever been frustrated by the mixed signals that they're giving you, like he acts like your boyfriend, but then he's not committing, but is it friends? Is this a date? Are we dating? Very good. All right, and then the third one is, are you just plain old wishing he would show up already so you don't have to be decoding friends with benefits? Hit 3. Awesome. So we have 7% of the women hoping I will flip him, 24% of the women frustrated by the mixed signals, and the numbers are climbing on wish he would just show up already. Yeah, we're in the 20%. Thank you for playing, all of you that played. Appreciate that. Going to put your hands down now. You're in the right place. So I don't want to go into too much detail about things unrelated to this topic, but I would like to introduce myself and introduce PAX for those of you who've never heard from me before. You don't know anything about me. So I've been studying men for 13 years with PAX programs. In 2002, I separated from my very beloved ex-husband. And in the separation process in 2002, I took this workshop because I wanted to learn how to not screw up my next relationship. Yeah, I had no idea what I was walking into in 2002. Back then, they called the workshop Celebrating Men Satisfying Women, and it was a two-day workshop. And the name now is The Queen's Code. And how PAX programs came to put this program together and the updated versions throughout all these years is our founder, Alison Armstrong, she started studying men in 1991. She really started to study to find out what brings out the best in men because she already knew what brought out the worst in men. She could get the worst out of a man in 10 minutes, and she thought she was doing a good job, like she was really getting to the essence of his flavor, getting to see who he was in that moment, so she didn't have to wait to, you know, find out who he really was. So in 1991, she started studying men when what she could see was that they were responding to us, that we could get the best out of them or we could bring out the worst in them. So she learned how to do both instead of just one. Isn't that great? And the information that we have received since 1991 all the way until now, this information that we teach, we got it from men. Men have been telling us this for years, but interestingly enough, a woman can hear it much easier from another woman. It's much more palatable when it comes from a woman. But could you imagine telling a man exactly what you needed to feel safe and loved and empowered, and then he does it? A Queen's Code workshop gave me this information about men, and it turns out when you can speak in their language, You can do just that. You can tell him what you need, and if he's up for it, if he's interested, he'll provide it. And like I said, it all came about from Allison studying men, bringing out the best in them instead of the worst. And it's amazing. So I lead this two-day workshop called The Queen's Code. I also lead a graduate program called, you ready for it? The Queen's Code for Sex. That's right. I'm the sex workshop leader. So it's part of why we picked this title, because I have a lot of experience in research. We'll call it research, in researching this area. After I left my beloved ex-husband and took these workshops in 2002, I began looking for my partner. What I didn't know is it would take me 10 years to find him. And his name is Dave. We've lived together for a couple of years. We're really happy. We live in San Francisco. But there was a decade where I had to date. I was sorting for my partner. And I didn't mean to. I totally didn't mean to. I meant to go on like 2 or 3 or 4 dates till I found him. But as it turned out, even though I didn't mean to, I went on 121 first dates. Exactly. Dave was lucky number 121. And I ended up writing a book about it. And guess what it's called? It's called 121 First Dates. And Simon & Schuster is putting it out in January. And it's available on Amazon. It's so exciting that I can go to Amazon and see my book, even though it doesn't exist totally in the real world yet. So like I said, I'm a happy camper. I live with Dave. We're in San Francisco. I also lead a 8-week teleclass called Dating by Design, and it can help women stay standing, keep stepping out when really you've had it. That last date was so irritating, you don't want to ever again. I help women be efficient daters. So I have that program, and I also lead the Queen's Code, and that's going to give women greater access to understanding men and getting what you need from them. But tonight is all about giving you a taste. I have so much more for you. So how this schedule is going to go is I'm going to tell you the difference between friends with benefits and a service agreement. Then I'm going to talk very briefly, going to give you some information about my 8-week dating class, Dating by Design. Then we're going to talk about let's be friends to see if you even want to be his friend. And then I'm going to tell you, again, very briefly about the Queen's Code 2-day workshop. And I'm going to offer you a special on both of those offerings, on both of those classes tonight. And they're going to be deals that aren't on any of the websites. And then I'm going to save the very best for last, the thing that most women don't know about men and type. To talk about men and type. And if there's any time left in the hour, which I'm guessing there might not be, we will take a couple of questions. Okie dokie. So let's get rolling. Before I give you the information on friends with benefits and service agreements, I just want to set the context that this is a no judgment call. Now, does this mean you're not going to be judging me? Oh yeah, you probably will. But where I'm coming from, where I'm speaking from, is there's no judgment in a wrong or right way to be. I'm going to give you information that I've found out through road testing, through studying, through experience, and really the context in which I want you to look from is what could work for me. If none of them would work for you, then you shouldn't. You shouldn't do that. So this isn't a judgment from you should try this or you should never try this. I'm only going to give you information that I have, that I've experienced, that I've seen, and that I've researched. And it's one of the most hardest, most frustrating things about being single is there's no partner to fulfill your sexual needs and desires. It's tricky, right, to be well-nurtured and cared for when you're single. So I'm going to give you options, and I'm going to let you know what I found out. So the first thing I want to do is just distinguish the difference between a service agreement and friends with benefits. So my friend Allison, I think she was the one who made up the name service agreement. She might have gotten it from someone else. But she was very clever to talk about a service agreement, almost like not necessarily a contract, more like a service agreement you'd have with your maintenance guy for your car oil to be changed, right? So you might make a deal with some very handy man who would be willing to service you on a schedule or not a schedule from time to time as needed, where it's simply the trade of sex. The trade of sex for snuggle time, the trade of sex for sex, the trade of sex for feeling good and all of the deliciousness that comes with sex. But a service agreement has not much to do with connection of relatedness and relationship. So you might just think of a service agreement as someone that you could agree mutually that it would benefit you both to do each other. That's a very blunt way to put it. Now, a friends with benefits would be different than a service agreement because, like a service agreement, you'd make deals around having it be mutually beneficial to do each other. But what generally happens in a friends with benefits is you're actually friends. The benefits are the doing each other. So friendship can come first, or it can just be hand in hand with what's going on in your sexual relationship. In other words, you could have a friends with benefits that you really like, and you go to dinner together, and you go to movies together, and you go to his family's home on Sunday to help with the farm, or whatever. So you actually have, you don't have to, but you could have activities outside the bedroom. So that's one of the biggest differences between a service agreement and friends with benefits. With friends with benefits, you can design it any way you'd like, just like you could a service agreement, but you're designing it with a friend. Now, does this mean with a service agreement you shouldn't know or like that person? Of course not. Of course not. But one of the big differences is a service agreement is all about the sex, where friends with benefits can be meatier, a little bit meatier, not like meteor, meteorite, like meteor. Got it? So I'm going to talk about who might consider having a friends with benefits arrangement, who you would have to be, what you can expect, but you can also hear this for service agreements, because in this respect, it's the same, okay? So who you'd need to be for it to be okay is you'd need to be the type of woman that it would be okay for. It's not for everybody. You'd need to be the type of woman who could really do it. I mean, really be okay with it, that it's not in conflict with your religious or spiritual or personal beliefs. If you hear about a service agreement or you hear about a friends with benefits and you have judgments about it, if you judge other people for it, it might not be the best thing for you because you'll end up judging yourself. You'll have an inner critic that's telling you all about yourself. And that would not be delightful. It probably would not be worth the trade. You need to be the type of woman who can compartmentalize, that is, separate out what's happening with this friend of yours from happily ever after, from the possibility of having that romantic life with a partner that you might be desiring. And one of the more heartbreaking things that I'm going to have to tell you is if you have a friends with benefits or a service agreement, for that matter, with somebody for an extended period of time, and you're seeing them a lot, like once a week, twice a week, you're really getting your needs met, you will, in fact, forego a long-term relationship. Now, I just said that statement like it was absolute and the truth. Does that mean no man could ever come in and sweep you off your feet if you were having sex with another person? No, absolutely not. It doesn't mean that. But moreover, what's going on is if you're seeing somebody weekly, even if he's just a friend, even if you know you would never be with him, you would never marry him, he's not your man, even if, and you're really good at compartmentalizing, and you're a really good dater, and you're really present with people you're dating, just like you're really present when you're with your friend, even if you're great at separating those two out, if you're seeing him all the time, whether you like it or not, a little part of your heart will belong to him. And you won't have enough space, enough spaciousness and autonomy to be like a single woman for someone looking for a monogamous relationship. Who you might attract is non-monogamous men, polyamorous men, married men, unavailable men, men who are too busy for a relationship. Like that. So, again, like a possibility, I'm not telling you it's the absolute truth. Consider that if you're seeing someone a lot as a friends with benefits, you don't have enough space. You don't have enough space for a new guy to come into your life, and you're not hungry enough for it. Now, I don't want you to be too hungry, but when you're that well fed, you're telling the universe, I'm good. I'm in good shape. I'm in great shape. I have everything I need except for, you know, my partner. This is my story, and it's actually probably one of the longest, hardest dating lessons I learned. And in retrospect, it may be why it took me 10 years to find my partner. Because in that 10 years, I had a 4-year friends with benefits, another 4-year friends with benefits, and a 2-year friends with benefits. And it wasn't until I let them all go that Dave came in. Could be a coincidence. Could be a total coincidence. And again, I'm not saying you can't get your needs met and you can't have a lover or a friends with benefits, but consider if what you're looking for is a full-time partner, a husband, your partner, then if you have a friends with benefits or a service agreement, my highest recommendation to you is to see him less frequently than weekly. Like every third week, or maybe once a month. Now I'm going to say something else, and again, I'm speaking from cause and effect. I know there'll be judgment out there. Another way to help circumvent this would be have more than one. If you have more than one lover at a time that you're seeing once in a while, it will be less of what I'm talking about. It will be less of a relationship. You know, when I look back, I can see, even though I had zero intention and they had zero intention of being in a committed partnership with me, those 4 years, 4 years, and 2 years, yeah, that ended up being space that was taken, total space being taken. So another thing that you would have to see if you were able to do is be open and free in your sexuality. Because you're going to need to communicate about all kinds of things that are going to be uncomfortable and maybe even painful. You're going to have to be able to create the deal and set limits with him, and maintain enough distance to not be fully heartbroken when the friends with benefit or service agreement ends. And like I said, if you have sex with someone often enough for any length of time, yeah, you're going to fall in love with them. So it's when it ends. And when you're heartbroken, you might be willing to go through that. I know I was. Now, another thing you are going to need to be is communicative. You're going to have all that negotiating skills to negotiate that deal up front, and then you're going to have to renegotiate it ongoingly as things change and you distinguish things. You don't want to accidentally compromise yourself along the way. You know, maybe you start out once every 3 weeks, but then you find out it maybe needs to move to 4 or even 2, just depending on what you need. Another thing I highly recommend is getting support. So you have a best friend, you want to use her or him. They can hold space while you deal with your oxytocin, because you're going to be all hopped up on the oxytocin bonding hormone, and that oxytocin bonding hormone is going to make you have delusional thoughts about how you should totally be with him, and pitch the friends with benefits agreement, let your friend talk you off the ledge, let you know why you're not going to be with him. And you're going to need to be willing to fall in love with him. Like I said, anytime you have sex with a person consistently for an extended period of time, no matter how well you've done compartmentalizing it, no matter how well you picked the wrong person for you so you wouldn't end up in a relationship, no matter how well you communicate, you'll fall in love. So there's going to be just some level here of heartbreak in it for you. You want to create a plan to deal with that. You know, like I said, if it's 2 times every 4 months, no biggie. Once a week for months or years, yeah, you're going to love him. So you're willing to put yourself through it. You want to be willing to let it end because it's not a relationship. It's a friends with benefits situation. You don't want to be your own best con artist. 95% of the time, those don't work into the dream relationship that we'd secretly hope for. So don't sell yourself out on hoping to be one of those 5% that'll flip him. All right, so who might you pick? Who would you pick for this? One type of person that you would pick, the most dangerous type of person that you could pick, would be somebody that you love, somebody that you wanted to be your boyfriend. Oh, you could be the best con artist ever to your own self. Oh, I can do it. We'll just be friends with benefits, and then maybe it'll be okay, and secretly maybe he'll fall in love with me and want to be with me forever and ever and get married to me. Don't do that to yourself. Get your girlfriends behind you. Help them help you walk you through that. One of mine was that guy, the very first one, for 4 years, and he kept his word. He always said, I like you. I'm never going to be in love with you. Worked out fine. You could pick somebody who's unavailable or uninterested in a relationship. You know, maybe he's raising children and he's working on his career or he's going back to school or he owns his own company and he's so overwhelmed, he doesn't have it to give. He doesn't have the capacity for you as a wife or a partner. But hey, once every 3 weeks, you're a delicious, tasty snack, and so is he. That might be perfect. Another person that you might pick, and in my never so humble opinion, this is a really good category of picking. Someone who you really like a lot, but they're incompatible with you for the long haul. So maybe they don't have a matching future. Maybe their life path is so different than your life path that you'd be miserable together. That's a great person to pick because as you fall in love and as you have this oxytocin bond and as oxytocin makes him way more amazing than he really is and makes the threat of losing this perfect relationship way more amazing than it really is, way more intense than it really is, if you pick this guy, you can always fall back on why it won't work, which is helpful in an oxytocin drug-induced haze. Okay, so what you can expect from a friends with benefits scenario is, again, if you're seeing him all the time, you can expect to not find anything long-term for you. You're not going to find your long-term relationship during this phase, most likely. If you want to have a friends with benefits and find your partner, make sure the arrangement is very loosey-goosey and you're not seeing him all that often. I know I keep repeating myself, but it bears repeating. You can expect friendship. You can expect deal-making so you get what you need. You can expect hot sex. That'd be worth it, right? You can expect oxytocin and all the delusions that come with oxytocin. You can expect to fall in love. and you can expect it to end, and it might even end possibly before you're even ready, because it's just a friends with benefits deal. So if you're looking for your partner, don't get a buddy that's weekly, every 3 weeks, or a service agreement that might even be closer to a one-off. You know, it's a conundrum, because if we go without what we need sexually, if we just go without, then we're starving and we're not in good shape and we're hungry and we're desperate and we'll settle for the first warm body to get feeling connected and yummy. But then if we have exactly everything we ever needed all the time, we don't have the hunger for the want. You know, part of love, part of sex, part of the hotness of Eros love is wanting. You want. You have that lustful is wanting. And if you're completely satisfied because you're eating 3 times a week, you have no wanting because you have. You're in the having phase. So you need a little bit of wanting to make it worthy of someone pursuing you. Otherwise, they're just going to think you've got this. All right. How we doing? How many of you have found this informative so far? If you have, hit one. If you are annoyed with me from the information I provided, I'm sorry about that. Hit two so I know. You're annoyed. You're annoyed that you can't have your friends with benefits and find your husband in the same week. And if you've had this experience yourself, anything I mentioned, hit three. If what I say is confirming to what you've experienced, just take a minute to check in. Awesome, one person is annoyed. Oh, nope, they took it back. Okay, thank you. 17% has found this informative, and 25% have experienced this themselves. And the rest of you, you're probably stirring pasta or something, or driving a car. Back to one person annoyed. Thank you, annoyed person. I love you. All right, hand is going down. All right, so I'm going to take a minute, well, maybe two. I'm going to tell you about my 8-week teleclass because I want to give you a special offer tonight because I believe in the buddy system. If you are interested and you register into my 8-week teleclass called Dating by Design, the next one starts Thursday, August 6th, and it's 8 weeks in a row, starting at 6 to 7:15, and then we have after-party Q&A until we're done. If you register into that, you can bring a girlfriend for free. Now, I do this because I believe in the buddy system, and right now we have the space. I'm only offering this for the August class, not for future classes. It may pop up in later classes. I'm not promising. I'm getting more and more popular. So you can bring a girlfriend for free because I don't want you dating alone. I want you to be able to support each other and have the same tools together while you're dating, like that. And in the 8 weeks, I can get you a higher quality of man with ease. I can teach you how to be the best first date ever in the whole wide world. I can teach you how to be efficient and save time and get key information from men quickly without doing any interviewing. I can have you have more grace in uncomfortable situations like paying for dates and saying no thank you and turning him down. I can make that swift and painless for everybody. I can talk about the mistakes that we make in our photos and in our online profiles, and I can set you apart from other women online. And you'll find out what you need from the homework. And I'll help you find him outside in the world besides online dating. I talk about where to find him and where we shoot ourselves in the foot when we're trying to find men in the real world, besides the online world. I talk about being on a date, what to say, what not to say. Class number 4 is all about sex. When is the right time to sleep with him for the first time? And a whole host of other topics, including the STD conversation. You will know more about sex in that 1 hour than you'd ever want to. And then calls number 5 and 6 are about online dating, how to do it, what my tricks and tips are and how to do it well, and some of the mistakes that we make. And then number 7, I talk about the newly divorced guy, because there's two kinds and you just don't know which one you've got on your hands. I can help you figure that out. We tend to run from all of them thinking they're a nightmare, but they're not all a nightmare. Some of them are the best kept secrets ever. And I'll help you deal with your inner critic. Your inner critic is your worst friend when it comes to dating. And I'll help you wrangle her. And then finally on call number 8, once you got him, how are you going to get a commitment out of him? And how are you going to keep it going and keep it clean? And there's a special guest who comes on call number 8 where we talk about our partnership. Dave comes on and we talk about our partnership together and some of the things we did on our first year that made all the difference for keeping it in great shape. And we share those secrets with everybody. So it's 8 weeks. The package includes 8 75-minute live calls, the after-party Q&A. It's all recorded, including the after-party, just for you, just for the people in your class. You get 40 minutes of one-on-one coaching with me that you could split with your girlfriend if you decide to bring her. And you get exercises and homework. And the cost is $295. And like I said, if you register tonight, it's $295 and you can bring your girlfriend for free. My website is wendyspeaks.com. Like a dog, woof. wendyspeaks.com. WendySpeaks.com. And I have payment plans if you need them. And when you register, just write in their girlfriend free and I'll send you an email with the details. Okay. What else do I want to tell you? If you're not into group learning, you could buy the recordings, but they're not of the class. They're parts of the information. And you can also work with me one-on-one if you want, but the best deal is in that live class, especially with the after party and what it provides. All right, moving right along to Let's Be Friends. I want to talk about Let's Be Friends as from both point of views, you saying it and him saying it. If you don't want to be his friend, don't tell him you want to be his friend. Don't say it unless you mean it. It's one of the things that women do because we don't want to be displeasing to a man, especially if he likes you. If you have an experience of a man and his attraction to you, you will experience that as pressure. And the pressure comes in, you can feel his attraction even when you're totally not attracted. If he's attracted, you're going to feel pressure. Pressure to be pleasing, but more importantly, not to displease him. Maybe you don't care so much about being pleasing to him, but what your instinct will have you do is try not to displease him. But see, it's a problem because you don't like him. So that's going to be displeasing. So we'll say things we don't mean. Like when he says, hey, want to go out again? You'll say, sure. And then you'll dodge his call. Don't do that. Don't do that. And if you don't want to be his friend, don't say that. And I'm not telling you don't do that and don't say that in a scolding way because it's a bad thing to do as a person. I'm telling you not to do that because all that's going to do is cause you more grief. Because then you're going to have to deal with him again and again and again and again. One of the things that men say is they don't care how nice of a guy they are. If you aren't his type, or if he's not your type, you want to just let him go. If he's not doing it for you and you've already made up your mind that he is not your man and you actually don't want to be friends with him, you want to say something when he asks you out, hey, you want to go out again? You want to say something like, oh, gosh, thank you so much for asking. I had a really lovely time with you tonight, but I can see you and I aren't quite a match. But I had a lovely time. Good luck out there. End it. One of the things that we do is we do that build-up. that, oh, you're such a great guy and you deserve a great girl and we should be friends. And no, no. Because then he's just going to keep coming around being hopeful because you're so cute. Now, if you do want to be his friend, this part can be tricky because men are really used to getting the just be friends conversation when really you do want to be his friend, but he'll think you don't want to be his friend. He might be hoping, but he won't trust it. So you might have to state your case. I did this. I did this with my friends with benefits person. It was our second date, and after the second date, he asked me out, and I said, hey, this is what I know about you. I like you. I think you're amazing. I'm a big fan of yours. I don't think we have a future. But I want to be your friend. Who knows? Maybe we'll throw in some benefits. But I want to be your friend. And I know, and I'm going to pause right here to tell you, this is where I pled my case. And I know you might hear this from time to time, but I mean it. And I mean it so much that please let me take you to that concert that we were both thinking of going to Friday after next, because I really do like hanging out with you. So if you really do want to be his friend, genuinely, you're going to have to make your case, you're going to have to be authentic about it, and you might want to have a date on the books where you're inviting him as a friend. Now, if you were dating, I would not recommend you setting dates with him. And we will talk more about that when you do my dating course, not out of some throwback 60s, 50s reason, but for other reasons, which we don't have time for today. So, but you're not dating him. You're actually setting up a friendship. So when you set up a friendship, it's totally fine to set the date for him, okay? All right. Now, him saying it, hey, we should be friends. Let's talk about this, because this could happen for a bunch of different reasons. One reason that it might happen is because, yeah, he can tell that he likes you as a person, and there's not enough for him to pursue a romantic relationship. So you want to take him at his word. Don't think let's be friends is code for I want to be your boyfriend someday. Now, you want to take it as, I want to be your friend. And then you can decide, do you want another friend? Do you have time for another friend? Would you only say yes to being his friend if you could also hope that he could become your boyfriend and you could become your own worst con artist and try and flip him? That's not a good reason to do it. You'll drive yourself crazy. Maybe he says he wants to be your friend because he's too busy. He's really, really busy at work, and he's just too busy to have a relationship, so he would like to be friends with you. You want to ask yourself that same question. You want to ask yourself, do I need another friend right now? And yeah, if he really does like you and he's really too busy, it gives you, you know, a little more weight to have a romantic relationship happen, but you're putting a lot of weight on something that isn't there. If you've got Mr. I'm too busy, I really like you, I want to date you, I'm too busy, let's be friends. If you've got him on your hands and you want to try it out, you can. But for sure, don't stop dating. Let him be the cherry on the top. You need to be dating men who are running towards you, who are available to be with you at the level you want them to be with you. It's really interesting. One of the differences between men and women is most men won't do that thing. I coach a lot of women one-on-one, and one of the questions I get all the time is, I really like this guy. He really likes me. He's really busy at work. He's been busy for the last 3 months. I'm hoping it will let up. How long should I stay there? How long should I hold on for? That's a woman question. We will stay too long with someone that we're not getting enough attention from. We will stay too long with someone that we can't get enough time and connection with. And those things, time, connection, and attention, those three combination of things is what we need to feel safe and chilled out. Without them, we're crazy person. We're clinging, we're hoping, we're reaching, we're off balance. We're not our best self. And we'll hang in there for months, months and months and months, not getting what we need. Yeah, most men don't do that. If the situation were reversed and you were the one that was too busy, he'd say something to himself like, wow, what a bummer. She's amazing. I'm never going to be able to get what I need from her in terms of attention. I'm going to go away now. You might consider taking a page out of their book. So if it's not a good time for him, you want to believe him. You know, I went on 121 first dates, and there were enough of that guy. I had plenty of those guys that I hung on, and it never turned out for any of them. You want the man you're dating to be running towards you. You don't want the man that you're dating to be lukewarm or too busy. And, you know, you're just sort of hanging out when he has a minute. You don't want that. You know it, and I know it. Okay. I'm going to tell you a secret about type after I tell you about the Queen's Code workshop. Okay? So it's a 2-day workshop. It's Saturday and Sunday, and the hours are 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And we lead it. There's a bunch of us leaders here in the U.S. and in Western Canada. The only dates I'm going to give you are mine, because I'm greedy that way. Mine, I'm leading in San Francisco August 1st and 2nd. I'm also going to give you Allison's, because Allison rarely leads this workshop, and she happens to be leading in Los Angeles on September 12th and 13th. And if you want to look at the national schedule, you can find it at understandmen.com. Just look under workshops for women. And then find a pick my date button. I'll give you all the cities and dates. The cost of this workshop, where you're going to learn everything you need to know about men in 2 days, well, almost everything, is $849, but I have a special offer for you tonight, and it's going to give you $124 off the price, so it's $725 if you pay in full. We also have a payment plan for that. And it comes with some extra goodies, which I'll tell you about in a second, but it's $250 worth of goodies on top of that if you register through my promo code. So in 2 days, what you're going to learn, what I can teach you, is how to bring out the best in men, and I got to tell you, it's really easy. It's actually easier than the ways we do naturally, the way we do. So you'll see all of the ways that we drive men crazy and how we kill off their motivation to provide for us. You know, often we think that they don't want to provide anything for us because they don't love us enough or care about us enough to do what we need, but that's not it. There are things that we do, and God bless us, we all do it. You know, we all naturally do it if we don't consciously see a different way. We all kill off their motivation to be amazing for us. So we teach you how to get them to open up. We teach them how to be motivated to provide the things that we most need, how to pay attention to us in ways that really work, and how to pay attention to what matters to us. And in the Queen's Code workshop, if you register, what you'll get in the package tonight is you're going to get a downloadable one-day workshop that I went to that Allison leads. It's called Loving More by Sacrificing Less. What a fantastic title, right? Loving More by Sacrificing Less. Such a woman's workshop. Because we sacrifice and we sacrifice, and often it's thankless. So you'll learn about all of the overproducing and expenditure of our energy and heart that doesn't need to happen. And they'll love us more, and we'll love them more, and we'll do less. Yay, that's worth it right there, right? And you'll also get a 30-minute follow-up one-on-one session with someone like me, your workshop leader or a workshop leader of your choice. I am one of them. So you can get 30 minutes one-on-one follow-up from your workshop, and then we also give you 3 live one-hour teleclasses after that to do more follow-up. And again, that discounted price is $725. You save $124, and you can access it by going to www.understandmen.com. The promo code to get the special discount is WN, like Wendy Newman, so WN-914. And whether you're choosing a PAX program or my dating workshop, we all have payment plans. And in both cases, you don't need to pay the payment plan off before you do the workshop. So you just need to make monthly payments, and whenever that workshop comes, even if you're right in the middle of your payment plan, come on in. We don't care. It's good. You can finish paying later. It's fantastic. Okay? All right. Let's see. Let me see what else I want to tell you. Oh, back to topic. Here we go. I talked to you about men and type. And then after I talk to you about men and type, it looks like we're going to have time for a question or two. Okay, so men and type, they have one, or they have several of them. It depends on the man. They don't have the same type of type that we think of. We think of stereotypes like long, lean, blonde, or groovy, Peruvian, curly-haired, skinny, curvy girl, or buxom redhead. We think if the last girlfriend was one of those types and we're not that type, then we're not his type. No. Very, very few men have a narrow type. Some men do. So I know one man in particular whose type is so narrow, he's been single for the whole time I've ever known him. Very narrow type. Most men don't. Most men have a broad, broad type. But one of the things that's different about men and type than from women to type is we might have a type or a flavor, but we can go on a date with somebody who's not our type. We get there and we're like, oh, bummer, not my type. But we'll sit down to a meal, and by the end of the meal, because we got to see his essence and his spirit and his wit and his intellect and his integrity, he'll grow on us. Pretty delightful, right? That's a total luxury. That's a bonus. For most men, what men say over and over, as much as it bums them out, we don't really grow on them. There's got to be enough. There's got to be enough there from the start. And one man put it, most men that I talk about say, oh yeah, and I know in the first couple seconds, yes or no. One man once said, well, for the longest time, it was yes, no, maybe, but as I got older, I found out that the maybes were no. There's just got to be, it's not that you fully have to be 100% his type, and men have various types, but there has to be enough. You want to think of it like a flavor. So this sounds like it could be bad news, but it's actually really good news, because if you're his type, you're in. Oh my God, you can stop worrying about it now. One of the things that we do when we meet a man is we date him and we like him and we know he likes us back and he's looking at you like you're the tastiest snack ever and you're his type and you're having a great time and he asks you out again, which is more evidence that you're his type, and you go out, and the next time you go out, you're going to worry about how to attract him better. How do you become more attractive? No, you're his type. All done now. Show up, be cute, show up your cute self in an outfit that makes you happy. You don't have to attract him more. You're in. You know, don't slap a 99-cent frame around your Mona Lisa-ness, but, you know, get out of the sweatpants maybe. But outside of that, you're in, right? All right. I hope you've gotten value out of tonight, finding out that men and type is different for them than it is for us. I have so much more for you. I could go on and on about type for literally 2.5 hours. But we're coming up on the end of the call, so I'm not going to do that. I'm actually going to put all the hands down now. If you have questions, I'll take a few questions until the 7 o'clock hour. And let's see. I wanted to also tell you, Okay, sorry about that. A little phone glitch. I wanted to also tell you that I'll be sending you an email after this call sometime in the evening with a recording. So you can hear this recording again. You can give it to your girlfriends, and it'll also give you a link for registering into either workshop. So I'd like to take questions now if I can. If you have a question for me, hit 1. And if you have a comment, hit 2. But I'd like to take questions if I can. Great. Oh, we have enough questions. If you have a comment, don't worry about it. So I have so many questions, I don't know that I'll get to all of you. Before I hand the first person a mic, what I want to say is I want to take questions on anything I talked about tonight. And we only have a few minutes. We have 8 minutes. So I'm going to take as many questions as I can, and I'll be as thorough as I can on the questions. Now, if you ask me a question and it's a very complex coaching question about your boyfriend, I'm going to very kindly tell you I'm not going to answer your question. And if you take a really long time to get to your question, I will stop you and say, excuse me, what's your question? Because we have over 100 people on the phone. So speak to knowing there's over 100 people listening to you, and I'd love you to get to the point in your question, although I would like detail because I'm a woman. Okay. Stephanie H. from Dallas, you have the mic.
Oh, thank you. My question is on the part where you're talking about why men would be friends, and you gave a couple of examples. Mm-hmm. When he's wanting to be friends, does he also expect friends with benefits? Does he kind of hope that, well, maybe I can get some sex out of this, or is it truly he wants a friendship, he truly likes you, and there's genuine feelings?
What a great question. I love that
question.
Thank you. What a forwarding question that is. Thank you, Stephanie. All right, I'm going to put you back on. Thank you. I'm going to put you back on mute so I can answer the question. Here we go. And then I can go to the next question. So the answer to that question is it depends on the man. And it's your job to find out. Now, if he's super flirty or if he talks about sex a lot, then you have a lot of leeway and a lot of space to say, you know, I'm actually kind of in the market for friends, but I got a question for you. Are you looking for benefits to go with that friendship? And then you can negotiate it in ways that work for you. You can either negotiate that as a deal, or if you're clear that ain't never happening, then you can say, are you looking for a friendship with benefits? Because I am available for friendship, but there will be no benefits. Sorry about that if that's disappointing to you. But, yeah, I don't do that, or I'm not available for that. Maybe you do that, but you're not going to do it with him. So you could just say, I'm not available for that. But thank you for that offer. It's a lovely offer. But, yeah, you just want to either set the boundary or get clarity. And if he's not flirting a lot and you can't tell, you'll just have to do the same thing, but over time. Okay, next question. Linus, you have a mic.
Yes, how do you know if you are a man's type?
Ah, another fine question, Linus. I'm going to keep you with the mic for a second in case you have a question, but you know that you're his type if he asks you out again. So if it's a match.com meet and greet date, you don't know. If he's never met you or if it's a setup from a coworker, like a blind date, you don't know if you're his type. You're not going to know until you're face-to-face. But if he has asked you out on another date, you're his type. Because men only ask women out who they want to have sex with. Even if they're not going to get it right away, they have hopes. And in the rare odd chance, Glynis, that you're so charming that you're left wondering, is he bored and I'm not his type, but he's asking me out because I'm so entertaining, then you would be bold enough to have to ask the question, I'd like to go out with you again, but I just have a quick clarification question. Am I enough your type? Any questions, Glynis?
No, I think that's good. I like that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, I had this rule. You know, I used to go chasing after the hot guy when I was younger, and then I learned about type, and I realized every time I went out with somebody where I liked them, but I wasn't enough of their type, but you could get them to sleep with you. You know that. You all know that. You just put out a lot of sexual energy, and even if you're not their type, if you're putting all the sexual energy out, you could flip him. I mean, you know, he's man. Many of them are easily flipped. But if you look back at your history with the men you have dated, it's a very clear line that you can see for whom you were his type and for whom you weren't. But you just had to have him. So you were going to put all the sexual energy out to flip him. That guy was great, but you never felt special or beautiful or like you mattered. You were delicious, low-hanging fruit. Delicious, low-hanging fruit for him. Not cherished, not great. Okay, Linda, handing you a mic. Go ahead.
Hi, Wendy. I just want to know, I'm just unclear, is the service agreement the type? Did you talk about that?
Yeah, the service agreement would be, I talked about it at the very, very beginning of the call, where the difference is it's really all about sex, and it has nothing to do with doing much outside of that. I recommend when I send the recording, just listen to the first few minutes.
Okay.
Distinguish it. Okay?
Okay,
thanks.
Perfect. Thank you.
Uh-huh. You bet. Okay. Lena, I'm handing you a mic. Go ahead.
The question that I wanted to ask is you had mentioned if somebody is not running towards you and it appears that they're taking time to figure out if they want a commitment, what do you recommend doing, giving it time or just sending it?
Yeah, if you have the space to do it, give it time, but you don't want to stop dating. So if you have the time to hang out and chill while he sorts it out, that's great. And you're dating, single is single. And, you know, being single has a couple of perks, not a ton of perks. You know, couples privilege has way more perks. But one of the really great perks about being single is the freedom to see who you want, when you want, with as many people as you want to, as you want. So if he's in the pool and checking you out and trying to see, okay. And he can't put dibs on you. Dibbing would look like, I get all your weekends and I get to have you exclusively. You can't have anyone else, but I'm not going to commit to you. That's dibbing. No. Yeah.
Got it. Thanks.
So, yeah, you bet. Thanks. All right. Okay, I think we have time for one more. Lily, you have the mic.
Oh, great. Thank you so much for taking my call. That's amazing. So my question is, I think that I'm in the boat of looking for friends with benefits and service agreement type things because I just got out of a relationship and I'm a very sexual person and I don't have any beliefs against it. But what I find is that I want the guy to be emotionally invested in me even if I'm not emotionally invested in him. And so I don't know if that means I'm not the type of person who can have that kind of relationship or if there's something I need to change about myself with that.
Well, I'm laughing because it's cute because I get it. And also we can't control that, what people,
right,
if they're going to be emotionally in or not. I can tell you, though, if you're having sex with a person for any length of time, they're going to be emotionally connected to you, whether they like it or not, too. So that isn't just a woman thing that you're going to fall in love. It's a human thing when you have all that time of connecting on such a delicious and intimate level and you're doing it once a week
yeah, you're gonna get invested whether you like it or not.
Great. So I took the Queen's Code workshop, a couple of them, and I see how your workshop, The Dating by Design, helps a woman to be treated like a queen in a dating type of situation where she's looking for her mate. If I'm not looking for my mate right now, could your course help me to be treated more like a queen in the more friends with benefits service agreement type of situation? Or
yeah,
is there another way I should try to adapt the material?
No, my course is very pragmatic, very hands-on, very practical application tools to be out in the world and dating men, regardless of your dating mm-hmm. purpose, and have it go much easier, have it be much more swift. There are things that women do by nature, me being one of them, that have us spend a whole lot of time and heart and energy in ways that are really inefficient. So I do this really amazing balance of having you be lightly tethered instead of sucked down like quicksand, right? Lightly tethered mm-hmm. to the dating process reality, but not surface, not so surface that you're not connecting with heart and with the humans, the people on the other side of who you're dating. So it's this really great balance of your authenticity, being yourself, and connecting with people, but not having to deal with all the pitfalls that just get us totally stuck. Yeah.
Oh, great. Thank you so much. That sounds really good.
Good. Thanks for asking, Lily.
Appreciate you taking my call. Thank you.
You bet. Okay, and with that, I am going to wrap up this call. I'm going to hand everybody a mic so you can say goodnight. Goodnight, everybody.